here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
Yeah, we're the number one live streaming show that I'm the host of.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
Streaming live.
Feel the power!
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode, another live show of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe, and today is going to be an awesome show. But before we jump into it, I want you to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that follow button, whatever that looks like for you, and follow us around the internet. We're having so much fun. And today, I got my friend Sid going to come on in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking about 13 business mistakes to avoid. I'm going to share a really crazy story that's happened to me in the last, 8 hours since I've been awake. Then also, it's going to be fun. So we got a bunch of stuff lined up for you. It's going to be fun. Might get a little out of control, but hit that share button wherever you're watching or listening from. And if you want to see the video portion, if you're joining us in Clubhouse, be sure to click that link and join us over there. But now I want to bring on my friend Sid Meadows. Ladies and gentlemen, what's up, man? How's it going?
What's happening, Billy? Happy Friday.
Dude, it is a happy Friday. I got my happy shirt on. I got my shirt
You get your Hawaiian shirt on.
I'm not in Hawaii, okay? Just because I'm wearing a shirt with palm trees doesn't mean Hawaii. I'm in Puerto Rico, okay? Got the wrong island.
All right, dude, I got a bone to pick with you. First off,
I'm ready.
You have not made me a moderator in Clubhouse yet, so when your phone battery dies, the room will close. So
there we go.
You take care of that.
Done.
All right. Secondly, yesterday we talked about this, and you said, I'm going to change the intro for Friday's show, and you screwed it up and didn't do the intro.
Wow, Sid, I have you on my show, and then you just badger me for the first minute you're on here. I love this. I can't. Wow. We should do this
Welcome
every
to
day.
Creating Daily with Sid Meadows and his co-host, Billy Thorpe.
Yeah, okay. I like that. That has a good ring to it for a trash can. That's a good... anyway. All right, so Sid, we're going to catch up. We got a couple segments for you guys before we jump into the main part of our content. However, I've had one heck of a morning, and I just have to share about it because I almost didn't do the show today. I almost didn't do the episode. I texted Sid. I said, look, I've had a long day. My car got broken into last night, and I might not do the show. And the story is crazy. So I'm getting ready to move. For everybody who doesn't know this, I'm getting ready. Not like I say it every single day. I've been saying it for like 3 months. Like, just preparing to move back to North Carolina from Puerto Rico. Here we go. So been preparing to move. I got this 96 model Montero. It's a piece of work. It's a nice hunk. And anyway, I cleaned it up real nice, spend a couple hours on it yesterday, getting it spiffy, getting it shiny, doing the thing. I post on Facebook Marketplace, and I just park it in front of my house, as I have been doing for 10 months. And I wake up this morning, and we took the car seat out to clean it for our son, and then we're putting it back in. I carry the car seat out there, I open the front door, and the first thing I notice is the glove compartment's wide open, and I'm like, that is weird, because that glove compartment normally doesn't even come open. It's such a piece of crap, it won't come open without the key. And so I'm like, how did that get open? And then I look in the middle console, right in the middle area, in the radio, the stereo is just gone. It's just gone. And I'm like, oh, what the heck? And then I look in the back of the car, all of our snorkel stuff is gone, all of our beach stuff is gone, our chairs are gone, like the whole, like, whoever, you know, this cleaned us out. And so I'm kind of freaking out. Like, what is happening? You know, like, what do I do? So I call my landlord because I don't speak Spanish. So it's not like I'm going to call 911. Yeah. And so I call my landlord. I'm like, hey, man, like, can you help me out here? Can you call somebody and get them over here? So he's like, cool. So he calls the cops. Of course, it's Puerto Rico. So it's like 2 hours later, they show up. And they're basically like, hey, we can't do anything for you, you know, because if you file a report, even if we pull cameras from certain buildings across the street or whatever, you know, you're just not going to be here. It's like, it's going to take a long time to get this person. You're not going to be here to press charges, show up to court, all that. So I'm like, all right, I'll chalk it up. No big deal. Not going to get my money back. Not going to get my stuff back. Nobody cares. And so I'm standing there and they're like speaking in Spanish to each other. And I'm picking up every 15th word or something. And all of a sudden the lady like gets on her phone, calls somebody. Then another cop rolls up. And he like buys my car right there. I was trying to sell it. I told him I was trying to sell it. So he just rolls up, was like, hey, I'll take a look at it. Looks at it, we do a deal right on the side of the street.
Wait a minute. The cop that was coming to investigate the crime bought that truck.
Bought the truck. So, and here's the cool part. He's like, not only will I buy it, but I will also let you use it until like next week when you, you know, before you guys leave, so you don't have to go rent a car or whatever. So
he kind of leased it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I gave him a sweetheart deal on it. I mean, we negotiated. I gave him a sweetheart deal, but I'm like, dude, this is so dope. Yeah, man.
All right, I got it. Oh, wait a minute. I got to know. Did you tell him that the reverse doesn't work in the car?
Oh,
and you have
I told
to park
him.
It where you only go forward?
Yeah, I told him. I'm like an honest dude. I'm like, look, this thing needs some TLC. Like, it's a piece of crap. I know it looks cool, but it's a you know, it leaks everything. It's like an old dumpy grandma. You know, it's just leaking.
All right,
everywhere.
Wait a minute. I got one more question. Did you tell him about the place that you went and got the illegal inspection sticker?
I did not say that. I mean, I didn't give that much information.
You didn't tell him where you went and got the...
I hope he's not watching this. I hope he didn't do his research on me. On my Facebook page.
If he did do the research on you, he probably wouldn't have bought the vehicle. So let's be clear on that one.
Oh, wow, Sid. Wow.
Where's the stinger button? I need a stinger button. Will my Rodecaster buttons work? I'm going to have to find which one's which.
They never do. I don't know. They won't work. Everybody's telling me I get a nice shirt. I really appreciate that. Thank you, guys. I see John says, sounds like a Tuesday here in Brooklyn.
Billy, I noticed you skip right over Knee's comment, though.
Oh, yeah, because Knee is just a troll. Like, tell me I got an ugly shirt. Are you kidding me? Any comments over here in Clubhouse world? Let's see. I can't even figure out Clubhouse anymore.
No comments.
Awesome.
Great
well, Dimple,
to see Dimple.
Yeah, she asked me, where in North Carolina? I'm moving there in about 1.5 weeks. It's Wilmington, North Carolina. Dimple, where are you moving? I'll announce it. Just give us the address. I'll make sure I put it on the internet. So anyway, well, man, we got a great show lined up, so we're gonna do a couple segments and then we'll continue to jump into it, as this is the show's like therapy. I told my wife, she said, you still gonna do your show today? And I'm like, I have to, because it's the only thing I'm looking forward to doing today. So anyway,
hey, there's a good thing. You sold the truck, but also now think, you don't have to pack all that snorkel gear.
Well, you know what? That is a plus, because I was like, well, we weren't going to pack it. We're just going to try to sell it. But it was like $500 worth of stuff, which is annoying. But
yeah, that's annoying.
You know, so instead of getting a couple $100 out of it, I just get nothing. But you know what? Whatever, dude. I hope that snorkel malfunctions with that guy and he takes in a big gulp of water. Learns his No, I'm just kidding. That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh. It's too funny.
Andrew Milton says, you're like a shock jock now, Billy. You know what? I just heard this term for the first time. And I think that means, like Howard Stern, like he was a shock jock, right? Like he was like said a bunch of weird stuff. Anyway, all right, Gabriel Gabe says, "What's up, fellas? No half for Billy Thorpe." Wow, yeah, man. No, I'm just letting the locks flow. You know,
all right. Hang on, you got to tell them why you're not wearing a hat.
Because it doesn't match the shirt. That's why. Like, if I had one of those little fedora, is that what it's called, a fedora? Is that the front facing?
I can see you in a fedora. Yes, Billy did not wear a hat today because he didn't have one that matches his Hawaiian shirt.
Exactly. You know, and, yeah. Anyway, whatever. Let's get into it, Sid. What do you say?
Creator highlights. No cooking necessary. No assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right. Today's creator highlight is brought to you by Maven Coffee. I only have one bag left. I have 10 days here in Puerto Rico. One bag of coffee, not going to work. Probably going to drink some trash and coffee. But anyway, go to mavencoffee.com. Don't run out of your coffee and have a little sip while you're checking out our creator feature here, Creator Highlight, which I'm going to pass the mic over to Sid and let him highlight Dr. Ali.
Yeah, I really wanted to share the spotlight today on Dr. Ali Falkingham. Dr. Ali is in a community that I'm involved in. I've gotten to know her over the last year or so. And what Dr. Ali actually is the founder of the Meta Wellness Center. And it's basically a wellness center in the metaverse, which is a really cool thing. And really, Dr. Ali's focus is, you know, helping you tap into your infinite potential. She's just getting started over in Discord. She's got a YouTube channel that's got some really great information in it. Dr. Ali lives up in Maine. She's a pediatrician, and she's really focused on helping you holistically look at health in your life And I would encourage anybody to go check out our YouTube channel. On our YouTube channel, there's a link over to our Discord. You can hop into our Discord channel and learn all the great things that Dr. Alley is doing to help us focus on health and wellness. I'm really excited, Dr. Alley, for all the amazing things I'm going to watch you accomplish in the next year.
Awesome. Well, I hope she's watching. If she is, she's not commenting because she probably doesn't like you, Sid, but that's cool. You know, you shout her
actually,
out. She ain't shouting you out.
I told her about the show. I told her about the shout out and I reminded her this was the same show that Manny was on earlier in the week. She goes, oh yeah, I know Billy in Clubhouse, but I really don't like that show, Sid, so I'm not going to come. So
that's not what she said. I'm like, you know what? That's why when I tried to call her the other day, all I got was this.
The number you have called is no longer in service.
So she just didn't like my phone call. Okay, yeah, whatever.
She's like smart people. She took you off of her list.
All right. Well, you know what? Speaking of Manny Cabo, I got a little take this. Every Friday we do a little highlight of stuff that people said this week that I resonated with. So I'm going to play this little video. We'll be right back.
And it usually takes, you know, 6 months to a year to reap any type of rewards. The problem is people quit way before that. And again, I've been doing music for a long time, so I'm doing something that most musicians never do. I'm releasing a single every 6 weeks.
18 years ago, none of this existed.
It's become such
a part of our lives in less than two decades. I mean, like, for crying out loud, I remember our very first cell phone, like the one the Zach Morris Saved by the Bell, you know, giant brick. Yep. That was our first cell phone. And now we're walking around with computers in our back pockets.
You have no idea what impact you have on somebody else's life.
Wow.
And I think after the last time I heard that was not that long before the pandemic, and I got introduced to this lady and she had her three kids and her husband, and you know, she gave me a similar style story just from listening to our show or whatever, or that, you know, it basically changed her trajectory. I was like, yeah, I gotta do this as a thing. Like, I gotta make sure that I am trying to just positively impact the lives of people. And so that's it. Like, just try to get people to tell their story, and you'd be surprised. You just never know, fam.
But I think what matters before you get to the format question is what you're talking about. And then what's more important with what you're talking about is who you're talking to.
All right, Sid. So good week, man. It was a lot of great guests this week. It was a lot of fun.
It was a powerful week. So I'm really curious, like, do you have like your top two or three takeaways from the week? Because you had some amazing guests this week.
Oh, I thought you meant like me personally, like top things I shared. I'm like, you know what? Like, you know,
yeah, no, right, nobody cares about what you share. It's all about the guests and the co-hosts. So yeah.
Man, you know, it was a lot of fun. I think one of the most, I think one of my favorite talks was with probably Doc Rock, and just kind of hearing his history and, his approach to reaching a billion people, I think, is amazing. And it's not – what I loved about it was, like, not Doc Rock reaching a million people, but him reaching a million people through other people by inspiring them to share their message, to go live, to do podcasts, to be, you know, get in this creator world. So, I think that was pretty inspirational for me to say, like, you know, that's – I share similar goals and values, and so that was a cool way to begin to process it and think about it. Like, it doesn't have to be Billy Thorpe, but just the community that I'm helping curate. So
sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
I have not watched that episode yet, but I will watch it this week, and I get to catch up on when I can't join live. I typically catch up on them on the weekend. So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody in the chat said, hey, it's me. It says unknown Facebook user. I think you have to give Ecamm permission to use your information there. And then also my friend Mikey Hayes says, I have a hat for you. Mikey, we need to talk when I get back in the States, because I've been looking for an apparel company to rep their stuff. I'm showing up every day, so might as well. So, Sid, I do have some rapid-fire questions for you. However, we're not going to do that right now. We're going to jump into the main topic, and then maybe before we end the show, we can do a little question segment.
So the unknown user is Katie Brinkley. Hey, Katie, what's happening?
What's up, Katie? Katie was on there earlier this week. Pretty awesome. Talking about NFTs, talking about Web3, a bunch of head scratches. It's been a tough week for Bitcoin and crypto. And
we're not going to talk about crypto and NFTs or Bitcoin or any of that stuff today.
So we're going to talk about other stuff, other mistakes to avoid besides crypto purchasing.
Hey, you can't put that on the mistake list there, dude.
That's a zinger.
I've got to get you sure that my Rodecaster doesn't work?
I'm 100% sure. Sid, anything that you push on that button, I'm not going to hear it.
You can't hear that?
Well, I can't. You just got to turn it up quite a bit. Yeah, there we go. Oh boy.
Because Chris Baglio's worked the other day when he was on the show, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Old guy with technology. This is gonna get interesting.
Let's get into the 13 because it's Friday the 13th. Before we start into the old jokes, okay? I've already been subjected to old jokes by not even intentionally a joke. One of my clients today I'm talking to about something. And he starts to make an old comment. And I went, hey, I know where you're going with this. And his face just turns beet red because he was about to make an old person comment. And I'm like, okay, I'll own it.
All right, Sid. So let's jump into this, man. I know you probably curated a list. I curated a little bit of a list. I shared my list with you. You didn't share yours with me, so I have no idea if we curated the same things or not. But
I did not really look at your list. Apologies. I've been busy. So I have no idea, but
you've been running a business. What are you talking about?
I've been running a business. Yes.
Mistake number one to avoid in business. Don't just ghost your co-host before the show. All right. That's a mistake. That's a huge mistake, especially a creator mistake. That will get you kicked off the show permanently. I'm going to get you canceled off of this
show.
Oh, my gosh. Where did I find this guy? All right. What's your first thing? First mistake to avoid?
So my first thing at the top of my list of things to avoid is toxic people. They're all around us, and you get the choice to choose. You get the opportunity to choose who is in your 5 or in your 10 or the people that you're around. You need to avoid toxic people. Because they have such a negative impact on you, your performance, your attitude, how you show up. So you want to make sure that you're removing those people as kindly as you can from your ecosystem, Billy. But I think it's also important just to be aware that when you are around toxic people, it can be really hard. I learned this lesson my very first job out of college. My mentor, who I was working with, pulled me aside one day and she just made a comment. She goes, Sid, you need to be really careful about who you're hanging out with. And I said, well, I'm looking at her like, what are you talking about? She goes, just think about it. And so I took a couple of days and I'm thinking about it. And I realized that this lady that I had become friends with at this business that we were working together, I would babysit her cat, I'd keep her cats when she'd go out of town. And we just got to be friends, right? And I realized that what my mentor was telling me was, is this person that I was hanging out with was extremely negative, never said anything positive, always had a bad attitude, and it was wearing off on me. And so she was toxic to me. And it took me having the realization of that in order to remove, and it was hard. It was hard to remove my friend from my world, but I had to do it. So toxic people, number one.
So how do you do, because you know, I mean, I think sometimes we don't know that up front. Like we don't know that people are toxic. We don't know that they're bad news, so to speak. So once you figure that out, which I think we can all say we've had those people in our lives and we quickly, you know, figured out like, whoa, this is a bad deal. Do you rip it off like the Band-Aid or do you just start slowly excluding them from the circle? Like, what's your approach to that?
I've done it both ways. I've ripped off the Band-Aid, extricated myself from a situation to no longer be around people that were toxic to me, that were not having a positive impact on me, that were not supporting me. So I've ripped it off. That's very recent. But then there's other ones that I've just kind of like been slow. And I've been doing it to you, Billy, actually. I mean, I don't return all your text messages.
I noticed. Every time I text you, it just says, hey, Sid's got his notifications off. Like, all right, Sid, that's good.
I'm like slowly pushing you away out of my ecosystem because you're kind of toxic to me.
You know what? And that's fine. I'm just really sad about the tax write-off I won't get for having an elderly person on my in my business.
Oh, dude. That hurts. Oh, that hurts. Okay, we already started the dad jokes. Okay.
Oh, that's fine. Too funny. So man, I think one thing, and basically when I was kind of putting some stuff down and some thoughts about the subject, I was thinking, like, what did I do when I started a business, or what didn't I do, or what mistakes did I make? And I think one of the mistakes that I made early on was, like, not really having a business plan. Like, I heard this term, I looked it up, I had done some research, and I'm like, I don't know. And I think I missed a lot of opportunities in the first year, maybe even first 24 months of owning a business, because I didn't have a plan. I didn't have, you know, a vision, a goal, any of that kind of stuff. So that would be my thing, would be, like, do the hard work, get the plan. And, you know, it may change. It's fluid. It's not a written, you know, book. You can change it, you know, chapters will change or whatever, but definitely have a starting place, which I didn't. I was just like, woohoo, here we go.
So I really appreciate that, Billy. I've certainly have started businesses. I've helped other people start businesses, and I work a lot with entrepreneurs, and a business plan is important. But I think what you just said is really critical to remember, is you have to be able to give yourself grace to understand that as you grow, as your business grows, as you change, as your business changes, that document that you created, it's just a guide and it can change too. You don't have to do everything to the T or to the letter, but you do need a guide. You're not going to go on a hike in the woods necessarily, or drive from California to New York without a map. So that's really what a business plan is. It's a map to help you get to where you want to go, but you know it's going to be twists and turns. What are you smiling about?
Just that you said map. I'm like, map. You know, GPS might be the 2022 device that we use.
dude, another. This is like, oh man, tally counting. This is too.
This is why I have you on here, Sid, just so I can, like, oh, you shared something really great. Let me just distract the whole audience by tearing you down with your age. Yeah, man. So I agree with you. And I think that's one thing that I've done, and I still don't do it, like, totally flesh out the idea, but I just put something on paper. I put goals on paper, you know, put a plan on paper. So I think that's a really good one. So what do you got next over there? We'll kind of ping pong back and forth here with some thoughts.
Sure. All right. So my next one is, actually I have lists. So the one I'm going to do next is, you know, money is always important when you're in your business, whether you're starting your business, wherever you are, money is always important. And minding your expenses is always important, right? And I think if there's a mistake here, something to avoid is avoid unnecessary and too many subscriptions. Because they're blooming everywhere, right? Oh, this software, this website's only $5 a month, and then this one's only $10 a month. And logically, you're saying to yourself, oh, it's only $5 a month. That's the deal. I can do that. And then all of a sudden, if you're categorizing your expenses the right way and you pull up that expense called subscription, you could be spending thousands of dollars a month on $5 stuff that, and if you're not using it, you got to go do it. So be very mindful of having too many subscriptions and getting caught in that trap.
Yeah. And keep up. I mean, you know, this isn't on my list, but this is one thing early on in business I made a huge mistake. And if I'm not careful, I can make these mistakes again, is keeping up with those expenses. It's keeping, you know, a tally, and not that you can't go back and figure it out, but, you know, it's a pain, especially when you're doing stuff like, you know, like when I was running a t-shirt printing business, I mean, like, cost of this, cost of that, this, you know, it's like a million different line items to deduct from my taxes. And I'd have to go through every year and painfully go, oh, wait, what was this for? How did that happen? Until I figured out a system to keep up with those finances. So I think that's, you know, a I huge do that thing in, as well.
I do it in QuickBooks. And so they categorize it as an expense, but you just got to be mindful of them because they add up. And if you're not using something, get rid of it, right? And it's like email, for example. I use Microsoft 365, and I have a couple of team members that also are on my plan that have email addresses. Well, I've had a couple of people roll off and still paying for their email subscription. It's only $5, but I need to go in, I have to make the conscious effort to go into Microsoft and remove them to save myself 10 bucks a month from the subscription plan. So you can get over absorbed in these subscriptions, and it's just good to be very mindful of what you're paying for.
Yeah. And there's an app out there. I can't remember the name. If anybody that's watching or listening knows the name of it, feel free to drop it in a chat nearest you. But there is an app that will, you can hook everything up to, and it'll like tell you what you're paying for subscription wise and all that kind of stuff. So, so do that. And then talking about money, here's one big problem that I did when I started, once again, and I'm talking more about the t-shirt printing company, is I was trying to get into the industry. So I was like, oh, I'm going to undercut the market. And so I'm going to get in by undercutting the market and so setting the wrong price and not really knowing the industry, not really knowing the value of the industry and the value of the product or the service that you're stepping up to be a part of. And so I did this and ended up undercutting myself. I mean, there's a reason your competition is priced where they are. And I learned a huge, huge lesson about undercutting myself, especially talking about taxes. When it came down to brass tax time, I was like, oh, I didn't make any money last year. I did a bunch of free labor. This is crazy.
Profit's important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, no one wants to make money on paper, but I just didn't make money, period.
So it's really very interesting. I have this conversation a lot with people about their pricing, and, you know, developing a pricing strategy is hard, especially if you're selling a service and not a product. It can be really hard to come up with a pricing strategy. So Billy, I've got a new project that I've taken on with a SaaS company. And which is new for me, but it's a SaaS company, and I'm a paid strategic advisor to the SaaS company. And we were going through kind of some of the stuff that they're doing, and he told me his pricing. He gave me the whole pitch about what it is they're doing and the product that the service that they offer. And I'm just like blown away. And then he told me the pricing, and I'm like, it's too cheap. Yeah. Like, you got to double the price. And he looked at me like, oh, like, no, I can't double the price. I'm like, you got to double the price. So I did a test for him. I talked to three people in the last week that could utilize the services. And I gave the three people the new price that I told him, the doubled price. And all three of them were like, okay, that's great. How can I get in touch and learn more? So he set his prices. In my opinion, he set his prices wrong. And he's losing the opportunity to make a lot more money that could hire more people, more developers, salespeople, things like that to help grow his business. So it's a really hard thing to do to establish pricing.
Yeah. And I think if you think about it too, it's like sometimes if you're too low, the perception of the quality is super low. And I noticed that too, you know, in the t-shirt printing world. But even with like this ring I have on, like it's just a rubber ring. But there's like a really expensive brand, and then there's like a really cheap brand, and the real expensive brand is everywhere. The really cheap brand, I don't even know their name, but then Kalo Ring is like one of the top brands out there. But it's the same product, essentially. It's just all about marketing perception, quality perception, and all that kind of stuff. So definitely watch your pricing.
I think it also has to do with the value here as well. You can have a great product. You can build a really successful business. Unfortunately for Ecamm, they can't seem how to get their guest to actually have clear video because my video is all blurry. Katie, I'm feeling your pain.
Zinger.
Sorry.
How many tabs you got open? Are you watching the feed? Are you watching the feed somewhere?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just double checking.
Well, maybe I'm watching the feed somewhere, but
well, just hit pause if you are. Just don't. You just don't want the feed playing, but you can see the chat though.
Let's see. Blaming
Ecamm.
Okay, we'll see.
There we go. We'll see what happens.
Anyways, the whole point, what I was trying to make before you rudely interrupted me was, no, go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, you're good.
The whole point that I was going to make is you don't have to be the low price to win business.
That's good.
People believe, it's got to be the low price. You do not have to be the lowest price. You don't have to enter a market, whatever market you're going into, and say, I got to be the low price leader in order to win business and grow your company. That is false. You do not have to be the lowest cost. You have to provide amazing value and a really great product, but you don't have to be the lowest price.
Well, some people just save some money by not doing those local TV commercials. Low price, lowest price in town. You know what I always think is funny, too, is like people will say that, but then there's always that asterisk. You know, you go, I mean, you're in the furniture business. We've done this before. We've seen an ad come on TV or in the newspapers like, oh, this was blah, blah, blah price. And then you go in the store and they're like, well, that's only if you're from this city in Japan. Then you get that price. It says it right
and
here.
And if you bought it on Tuesday, on the second Tuesday of the month, after 3 o'clock in the afternoon is only when that deal.
Yeah,
that stuff drives me crazy.
All right, man. The next, I don't even know what number we're on. We're just sharing some stuff, guys. If you have any questions about this, Sid is a business coach. He's a high-level business coach. And so if you have any business questions or how to establish stuff, feel free to answer or ask, rather, those questions in the chat. Just put Q colon and then put your question so we can quickly identify it. And if you want to come on the stage here in a little bit on Clubhouse or on Guild or on Bullhorn, you can call in and do all that fun stuff as well. So the next thing here that I have on my list is what I really struggle with. Even now, as an entrepreneur, I struggle with this, is the kind of us four and no more mentality, where I kind of like refuse to build a team. You know, because I want to run lean and mean at times, but then I understand that there's no scalability without help, and I can't really take my business to the next level if I don't have some help. So I think I'm learning this, and I'm trying to figure this out as I kind of get to this place. Now, I did this in the t-shirt world where I literally would, you know, I was printing everything. I was doing all the sales. I was printing everything, blah, blah, blah. I was doing everything, the whole thing, invoices to ink on the shirt, like you name it, I was doing it. And then one time I got in a situation where I couldn't get this job done and I outsourced it to a friend of mine. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I'm like making money while I'm paying you a smaller percentage. I'm making money, you're making money, but I'm not doing anything. This is amazing. And so I think that's when I kind of realized like, oh, okay, cool. Now I'm going to start doing this more often. And then I end up outsourcing my entire business, which was pretty awesome there for several years. So, yeah, I think you got to, you know, my whole point is don't be afraid to recruit help and hire stuff out, especially the crap you don't like. That's what I would say about that.
Strategic outsourcing is what I would say. Strategic outsourcing. Because in the way I do it, I have two people and then I have actually four people, sorry. I have a YouTube guy that edits my YouTube videos. I have a podcast editor. They're both contractors. They have a task. They know exactly what their task is. They do it. Those are both very strategic outsourcing for me, because if Sid had to edit a video or Sid had to edit audio, there would be no podcast. There would be no YouTube, right? It's not my skill set. And I tried it. I looked at the screen and all these lines and all this nonsense. And yeah, it's not happening. Not happening. I know what I'm good at, right? And then I have a marketing person who writes emails for me. That's pretty much what she does. And she builds my website based on the framework. And that's really effective and really good. And then I have an admin that does pretty much all my accounting and anything else that I need. And so here's my measuring stick. And I kind of mentioned it. If it feels heavy to me, I'm outsourcing it. I'm not going to do it. If it feels heavy, if I sit in front of my computer screen and I just like drop my shoulders and just like this whole weight is on my shoulder, then I'm out. What? Okay. You got a smart aleck comment. I see it on your face.
I don't. I was just sitting here thinking like, I was trying to think of like what task I feel that way about right now, but I can't think of one because I legitimately enjoy a lot of stuff I do. So I was just,
right, so
was
here's
just
the other question, but here's another question to ask yourself. Okay. If it doesn't feel heavy to you and you enjoy doing it, is the task that you're doing, is it moving? Is that task moving your business forward?
Yes.
If the answer to that question is no, or yes, but, then you should consider outsourcing it.
Yeah. Yeah. All my stuff right now is the stuff that I need to be doing that I need to outsource. I'm just not doing it. So that's where I'm at. We should have an episode where we talk about, we should have an episode where we talk about VAs. If anybody has a VA that you just crush it, that would be a really good episode to bring on and bring somebody else on to talk about it. And, and I invited people to ask a question. So we got Gabe or Gabriel here asking a question. He says, so how do you know it's time to close a business when you're struggling? This is a great question.
Oh, this is a really, really good question.
And this could be a mistake that you make not knowing when to close the doors.
Yeah. So, you know, here's what I would tell you is the only person that can answer that question is you. A coach or consultant like me could listen to the conversation, listen to where you are, but at the end of the day, you're the only person that can make that decision. What I would tell you to do is do some inner work, if you will. Ask yourself the tough questions, like, why is this not successful? What have I done? Do I want this business to be successful? Does this business bring me joy? And if the business brings you joy, you want it to be successful, you really have a good time doing it, then you've got to look at ways you can make the business successful. What is it that you're not doing that you should be doing? Is the product or the service, is it not for the right fit client? Do you even know who your right fit client is? Are you marketing to them in the right locations? I think these are all the types of things you'd have to do to really explore whether or not you would want to keep it. But Gabe, at the end of the day, in my opinion, you are the only person that can make that decision.
Yeah, that's good, man. And I think it is tough, man, because I've done this. I mean, I did this in the last 24 months. I closed a business of nearly, same. It's like, and it sucks because you're like, man, I've raised this child of 8 years and now I got to just put, you know, take it out back and put it down. I mean, that sounds terrible. Yep. I shouldn't have said child and put it down. Maybe I should have said horse or cow. But, you know, it's like, it is a tough decision. But I think you know in your gut. You know, it's like when you're in a rut, just follow your gut. There you go. That's my little rhyme for the day. And, you know, same thing for us, man. My wife and I knew, like, hey, this is it, you know. So Gabriel said, right, now I'm trying to outsource ways for other people to pay my bills but can't find any takers.
If you do find any takers, be sure you reach out to me and Billy and let you know.
Yeah, let me know what your secret recipe is. I'd love for other people to pay my stuff. Maybe I'll turn it into the Tinder swindler. There we go. Have you seen that? Anyway, I'm not going to get off topic. Forget it.
Wait a minute. It's on the Netflix, right? I did see it pop up on Netflix.
It's on the Netflix. You got it, Sid.
It's on the Netflix. Hey, I got a good Netflix for you. Well, sidebar for a second. If you haven't watched Molly's Game, you need to watch Molly's Game on Netflix. It's amazing. Do you know who Molly is?
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh, I just lost her last name. She was she held gambling rings in Los Angeles and in New York, and she got busted for illegal. It was not illegal to host a gambling or card. She was hosting poker games. Uh-huh. It wasn't illegal for her to do it, but she started taking money off the table and that was illegal and she got busted. But it's an amazing story of what she did, how she did it. So you got to go watch Molly's Game. It's about 2 hours long. It's really good.
So there you go, Gabe. That's a quick way to make some cash. Just go take money off the table at a casino.
At a casino. Actually, she's running her own game. All right. That's so crazy. I'm going to go to the next one.
Let's go.
Are you ready? So most of the people that are listening know me. You know this, Billy. I'm a huge proponent of education and growth and learning, right? Learning new things, learning things that are going to help move your business forward, all about you getting better, because the more you grow, the more your business grows, all right? I'm a huge fan. However, there is such a thing, and this is the thing to avoid, is over-contenting yourself. You can consume way too much information, and overconsumption of information can stop you dead in the tracks, because this podcast is telling you this and this one's telling you this, and you just read an article about this and you're in a clubhouse room about this, and then you don't take any action because you over-contented on whatever the topic is. So be very careful with that.
Man, that's a good takeaway. And that was something that Chris Stone said yesterday on the show, was it's fine to consume content. It's fine to be a consumer of content. Just be sure that you're creating more content than you're consuming. And I think that's a good, you know, a good metric to say, am I creating more, you know, hours of content than I am consuming hours of content? And that's, for a lot of people watching the show, like, you guys are content creators. So that makes the most sense. And there's ways to overcome that or whatever. So the next thing here on my list, and I see this a lot in business, but I see this a lot also with creators, is avoiding technology, is saying, well, that's just going to be too hard for me to learn. This is not going to be right. You know, it's like, it's too much of a learning curve. And, you know, similar to the outsource thing, there's people that will, you know, like Chris, once again, to reference him from yesterday's, you know, he'll live produce live shows and podcasts and all kinds of stuff. And I think it's a really, you know, don't let the tech stop you. You know, I see so many people not getting their message out, not starting a business because they don't understand the technology. But there's so much information out there. So, yeah, that'd be my – don't avoid the technology. Sid, I know what you're going to say, so go ahead and say it.
I have no comment to this because I am not the most techie person. However, there are some techs that I can certainly easily figure out how to use and to embrace, but I'm not a techie person.
But you outsource what you're not good at. So, I mean, you got that part, yeah.
Except I can't outsource Ecamm. I bought Ecamm. You can. I can't figure out how to.
You can.
Oh, don't even.
You can.
I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute you right now.
That's part of my. Wait, I was like, why? You can't mute me. That's a part of my. That's a part of something when I get back to North Carolina I want to talk to you about, because we can do that. You know, you can. We can set it up. We can set it up together, and then I can either show you how to use it or show up and remote produce for you, which would be fun.
Because I bought the Black Friday thing.
You got the deal. So now we got to get you in there using it. And I think they're figuring out the interview issue, which we figured it out really nice on this show, because you just can't stream the show and be on the show at the same time. So there you go. You learn something new.
May, and I haven't even – I've turned it on once, all the stuff that pops up. But I fully admit that I have invested in technology that I haven't used. And now, you know, this goes to the subscription thing for a second, Billy. It's always really intriguing to, like, they give you this deal to buy it for the year, and it's $5 more a month, right? They're a big culprit of this. It's $5 more a month if you just go month to month. I will go month to month first to see if I'm going to use it, if it's effective, if it's a tool that I want. And if it's not, I just cancel. So I'll pay an extra $10 rather than lose $200 to $500 because I can't get my money back because I paid for a year.
True. That's what my wife does too. She's like, oh, I'm paying the $10 instead of the $8. I'm like, I just pay the whole stupid thing up front. And like, then I feel obligated. You know, I paid $250 a year for Ecamm or whatever it was when I bought it. I'm like, all right, now I got to use this dumb thing. And I use it every day now, so it's turning out pretty good. Sid, sure. I don't even know how many avoiding things that we've turned into, but what's another one you got on your list?
I've done 1, 2, 3. I've done 4. I have been keeping track. So all that means you've done 5. So that's we're perfect. At 9. Yes.
We're at 9. All right. Great.
So, here's something that I think is important, too, is we're marketing our business. And we're creating content, especially for content creators. And we're out there and we're really trying to reach our ideal customer, share our message, share our value. Just remember, you don't have to be everywhere. In fact, I think you should avoid trying to be everywhere. I think that just sets you up for failure. It sets your business up for failure because you can't focus. I think you need to focus where your customers are. If you know who your customers are, and you know the problems that you solve for them, in knowing who your customers are, you know where they hang out. And if they only hang out on Pinterest, then create content on Pinterest. If they hang out on LinkedIn and Instagram like mine, create content that supports LinkedIn and Instagram in order to talk to your ideal client. You do not have to be anywhere, because God knows how many social media platforms there are at this very moment, and there'll be 10 more by the end of this year. Yeah. So you cannot do it all, and you cannot be everywhere, and nor should you be.
100%, man. I agree with that. I don't always follow that rule, especially in live streaming, but I agree. I agree that, you know, the more and when you first start, it might take a little time to figure that out. You might have to be in more places to figure out who's resonating with you. But then also, I think there's a lot of market research now. You know, technology's there. The information's out there. Like, you know, you can figure out like who is on Instagram versus TikTok versus LinkedIn, you know, whatnot. So
and it's okay to test, right?
Yeah.
It's okay to test, right? Hey, I'm going to test being on Twitch or Snapchat or whatever, TikTok. I'm going to test it. If it works, then that's telling you you're getting engagement. You're getting, you know, people are not just engaging in the post, but they're reaching out to you. You've got DM conversations going on, stuff like that. Then you know it's an effective tool. If it doesn't, then don't go back to the tool. Don't go back to the platform.
Yeah, exactly, man. Good information. And that's one thing I'm working on. I'm working on, like, especially with live streaming, like, where do I need to be and where are people going to come and show up? But, you know, if I look through the chat, people are on all the platforms that I've posted, they're commenting from all the platforms. So I'm like, well, you know, All right.
I mean, it's a really great point, Billy. You've had comments from Facebook, from LinkedIn.
From YouTube.
I mean, it literally is a really good point. That means people are consuming your content on those platforms. So,
and Gabe is probably watching on LinkedIn and YouTube, or LinkedIn and Facebook and YouTube
at the same time.
At the same time, you're seeing all of our faces.
What's another one? What you got?
The next thing, and this is I get on this for content creators all the time, is there's no focus or no niche. You try to be everything, similar to what Sid said. It's like you can't be everywhere all the time. Well, you can't be everything to everyone all the time, or you're going to be nothing to everyone. You're going to be nothing to no one. You know, it's like,
that's right.
You know, you got to really figure out who it is, who you're talking to, what you're talking to them about. And I think that really, and honestly, Sid, in all of my business experience, which is, you know, small to some, more than others, anytime I really focus and say, here is who I'm serving and here's how I'm serving them, my business just takes off, like, every time. Even in the t-shirt printing world, sure, bars, restaurants, barbershops, schools, churches, all those places order t-shirts. But when I really focused and said, hey, I'm the guy that helps nonprofits create product tables, boom, my business took off. People started calling me. Referrals started coming in, and I really, you know, put myself into that world, into that community, and became known as the t-shirt guy. Like that, they didn't even know the name of my business. They were like, hey, yep, this is Billy. Yeah. Oh, you're the t-shirt guy that, you know, Ryan and Joy told me about you. I'm like, yep, that's me. Like, how can I help you? And so I think that is something I learned too, is like, figure out your niche, pick your people, and go after them. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Dr. Alley's in the house. Hey, Dr. Alley,
what's up?
We did your shout out at the top of the episode.
She says, good advice, Billy. I like that. I like, she jumps in, says, good advice, Billy. There's my dogs. They always need to be on the show. I need to take this advice and stop trying to make everyone or be everything to everyone. I believe that's what she said. It went away. So
I'm going to add to that, Billy. Every person is not your customer. I don't care what you're selling. Every person is not your customer. When you zone in, as the example Billy gave, when you zone into who your customer is, you market to them, you can skyrocket your business. You just got to know who that customer is. And I love that you said, I'm the t-shirt guy to nonprofits. Yeah. And you built over many years a very, very successful business.
Now, I'm the number one live streaming guy to everyone. No, I'm just kidding. In my own mind.
But, I mean, some people would do that. This is creating daily for everyone.
Yeah.
Where this is creating daily for content creators.
For content creators, yeah. And I really focus, you know, and I'm finding that focus. And I think that's the thing, too. When you start something, maybe a new project, maybe it's not a complete, you know, business. Like, there's no, you know, for this show, there's no, like, financial income plan at this moment. I'm doing it because I love it and I'm kind of figuring it out on the way. And I am trying to figure out like who resonates with me the most on this show, what opportunities will present themselves. And it's really just for me as a content creator to have an outlet, you know, when I have a day like today where I got robbed and then somebody bought my car randomly and I'm like, how do I process all this? I'm going to go live stream. It's like therapy. I think that's a thing too. It's like, you know, just figure out who you want to talk to and start building your community, because that's what it's going to take. I've seen this in every podcast I've done, every business I've ran. When I find that audience that I'm serving, those people I'm serving, it really helps me quickly build a community rather than saying, oh, this person likes my show, this person likes my show. Now let me try to figure out what they have in common so we can bring a community together. But if I'm building this subject matter, then people who like that are going to find it and come and be a part of that community. So yeah, man, it's tough because you're like, as a content creator, it's tough because you're like, man, I can weave in and out of so many topics, but you know, like on Clubhouse, Sid, like when have I ever gotten on Clubhouse and go, hey, what's up guys? I'm the t-shirt guy. Never. I know t-shirts better than I know anything on the planet, but I've never done that. I've always been on the podcast monetization person. Because that's what I want to do and be known for on that particular platform. So anyway, yeah.
So Billy, I would really like for us to go back for just a couple of sentences there, maybe a minute or so. And I'd like to actually shift this conversation into a bit of more of a coaching session to talk about really, right. I'm just
best. What do you want me to coach you on, Sid? What do you want me to coach you on?
No. I'm going to be the one coaching you about monetization strategies for this.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have a plan, which is going to lead me into the next thing. Okay. Because you said at the top of the hour about a business plan, be sure you have a business plan. I also think with that, you need to make sure that you know what your goals are. You know what your goals are for whatever it is that you're doing. And the problem with goals, there's all different types of goals. Whatever type of goal you think is the one you want to set, then that's the one you should set. We could have a whole conversation about goal setting and different types. But I think the challenge with goal setting, especially in business, is that we set goals, Billy, or Pete, and I'm guilty of it too, that we set goals that are too aspirational. And then there's this thing out here that we're always striving for that we're never going to get because it's so pie in the sky aspirational. You got to break that. It's great to have aspirations. It's great to know where you want to go, but let's be a little bit more realistic with this.
Bro, you got to have goals. Are you telling me I can't make $1 million in 30 days? Come on. From my new business I just started.
Well, with that forehead showing the way it is per kind of what knees comments, no way. I mean, you could put the hat on. Could probably get it with the hat.
This is $1 million billboard right here. People just don't know it yet.
And a millionaire forehead with long hair. I told you, you need to get a Puerto Rican haircut before you leave.
Bro, I'm just trying to get a Puerto Rican anything right now. I'm like just trying to get my car sold, bags packed. Like, I'll get a haircut before I leave because they do a good job here. I'll tell you that.
You need to get that guy to get you that part that you had before. The hard part. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'll probably get a lightning bolt or something down the side.
Oh, my gosh.
Wear a gold chain with this shirt on. It'll be looking good.
You got a tattoo, so now a lightning bolt, a hard part, and then a gold chain. Man, I think you're going to leave Puerto Rico in style.
I'm going to go hard, man. I got to get some Looney Tunes shirts, though. That's big down here. Like, anyway, I think I got one more, and then maybe you got one more, right? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I do.
All right, perfect. So I'll go with my last one here, and then I'll let you go with your last one. And this is the thing that I've struggled with the most in my entire life, not just in business, not just in content creation, but is really just to say, I'm going to do it. This is my commitment. I'm going to commit. And, you know, because I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, especially, this is part of what we like to do. Like the entrepreneur part I really love is the startup phase, is the figuring out how does this puzzle go together? How does this gear crank with the other gear? Like, how does all this stuff, you know, come together and how can I make money doing that? And then, you know, it's like, oh, I love that part. It's awesome. And then when the thing starts rolling and it starts moving and it starts going, I'm like, cool, I don't want to do this day-to-day stuff anymore. Like, I just, like, can somebody else do this? Like, or I'll sell it or I'll get rid of it because I love that part. You know, I often joke, like, is there a business where I could start where somebody goes, I want to start a business, I just need some ideas, and they just put me in a padded room for, like, 40 hours with some whiteboards. Like, I would come up with some crazy fun stuff because that's what I love is the startup part. However, I realize that the startup is fun, but the startup doesn't really matter. It's like the longevity of it. It's the commitment, all that kind of stuff. So I got to remind myself of that all the time with any project, really. Like, I committed. Here we go.
So, you know, the answer to that question is yes, there is someone that would hire you to help ideate business ideas. It's called consulting, by the way.
Well, guess what? Billy Thorpe Consulting coming right up. There we go.
Actually, I don't think you should call it Billy Thorpe Consulting. There's two. We don't want people to confuse you with the Australian rock star, Billy Thorpe.
Bro, he's dead. I'm telling you.
You still might get confused with somebody famous, and you're not famous.
He's old news, bro. I'm the hot stuff on the streets.
I think it's hot stuff on the street. Nee, where are you, man? I need some smart aleck comments up in the chat, buddy. I mean, come on. And I think it should be called Forehead Consulting.
Forehead can say, there we go. Four heads are better than none or whatever. I don't know.
Or one forehead is better. Wow. Oh my god!
I think your consulting business, since we're doing insult consulting business names, should be.
Oh,
I had some really good ideas, but I'm too old and I forgot. That's
okay, but you know that struggle is real, right? I forget crap so much.
That's good.
Oh no, Dr. Ellie's got strong brow consulting. Strong brow. Should say strong bro.
Strong bro. Ooh, get it done.
Strong bro. Strong brow.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. All right, so I'm okay with the old jokes because I forget a lot. Trust me.
I know. You forgot to call me last night when you said you're going to call me back. You didn't.
Hold on. I did not say I was going to call you back. You said you were calling me back. And you did call me back and we talked.
You didn't text me goodnight either, Sid. What kind of friend are you? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
All right, remember the conversation earlier about removing toxic people? I mean, I'm trying to push you away, buddy.
I know.
All right, so my last one actually.
I'm moving to Dallas.
Come on. Let's go.
All right, your last one. Let's roll.
So this one kind of ties into, and I've totally lost count now, but this one ties in a little bit to what you just said, which is we can't let fear stop us. So don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from moving forward. Just because you don't know the outcome doesn't mean that you shouldn't move forward with it, that you shouldn't try, that you shouldn't give it 110%. Don't let fear stop you. So that's like avoid letting fear prevent you from reaching for your dreams.
Love that, man. I love
and
that.
That's good. I'm going to give a shout out to Dr. Allie. Dr. Allie didn't let fear stop her. We had this conversation in coffee this morning, or right after coffee this morning. And though I had written this before, saying that out loud, Billy, I was talking to myself.
Yeah.
Right then and there, I was talking to myself. So
don't let fear stop you. I think it's hugely important. Oh, and there's my son screaming in the other room. Sons and dogs always got to be on the show. I think it's huge, and I think if the fear of certain things, like fear in general, but fear of quote unquote failure, fear of what other people think. And, and I think we gotta take some of that stuff in captive and really get a good perspective of it. I spent 10 months here in Puerto Rico, and people often go like, man, why are you moving back from paradise? Like, that's paradise. And I'm like, dude, paradise is a perspective. It is not a place. And so that is what I've learned being here for so long is, there's a lot more stuff in life that matters and don't matters than what we think matters and doesn't matter. And so, I think that is a part of creating a business, creating a creative project or whatever, is go with your gut, lean on yourself, trust yourself, and just go for it. And the worst case scenario is like, what? You don't do what you thought you were going to do, and you got to close your business, or you got to close your creative project, and you go work for somebody else again for a little bit until you get the next idea. Like,
yep.
Who cares? That's a part of the journey. It's part of what we do as entrepreneurs. So, awesome, man. It's good.
The quote of the day is, paradise is a perspective, not a place.
I'm going to write the book.
You need to tweet that. Tweet it, dude. That's like awesome.
Paradise. That's what it is, man. It's a perspective, not a place. Love it. Wow, Billy, high five. You're so good at words.
Hey, virtual high fives. I got you. I got you through the camera. Yeah, I can't even.
Everybody, put your hands up to your screen.
Oh my gosh. What a fun show today. We had like 14, I think.
Oh yeah, we did plenty. As long as we hit 13, I don't think anybody was counting. Maybe somebody in the chat will be like, "Yeah, you guys got 12 and a half, losers." But super super amounts of fun, man. Always a good time with you, Sid. Next Friday, Sid, we're not going to be together. I am actually not going to produce a show next Friday.
Oh, dude.
I know. I got to tear my studio down, and I've underestimated what moving to another country, I should know because I did it within the last 10 months, or 12 months, but we're going
to. Is this you pushing me away? Are you trying to get rid of me?
No, after all the statements that you made about pushing toxic people away, referencing me multiple times, like, I'm not producing a show with Sid next week. How about that? Billy might
show
up. I might show up solo without Sid.
Oh, so if you did that, I'd be like, my feelings would be really hurt if you showed up.
and then you would know how I feel, and that would be a lesson.
I already got it because you didn't change the intro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I meant to change that today.
You promised me you were going to change the intro, and you didn't.
You know what? And I didn't think I was going to be running around town trying to figure out who stole my floaties. All right? Now I can't go swimming.
Go to Walmart, man. Buy some more. Go buy some more at Walmart.
Actually, they left all the kids' stuff. They left.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they left all my son's toys. They left his floaty in there. I was, you know, but they took my.
I bet they don't have kids. They don't have kids. That's why.
They even took my fold up chairs. They're like $10 at Walmart. I'm like, what kind of person are you? You savage.
Oh my God.
Ridiculous. Anyway, they didn't steal the oil or the antifreeze. I'm good. I'm glad.
So the thing will still run at least for
a few more days until I sell it to the poor sap that bought it.
Oh my gosh. Well, get the money quick.
Get that money. Well, Sid, it's been fun, man. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks everyone in the chat for joining Sid and I. It's been a lot of fun. Any last words, Sid? We're going to leave our rapid fire question segment. We'll do another one.
We ran out of time. We sure did, didn't we?
We talked a lot.
Yeah, we did. Great show. I really appreciated the conversation. I love the banter back and forth and the tips because we both have different perspectives. So thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks for lighting up the chat. It's great to see all of you here today. And I guess, Billy, it'll be, 3 weeks? We'll be back in 3 weeks?
Well, yeah, we'll be back in, yeah. Yeah,
because you'll be gone for next week and then the following week, right?
Yeah, so next week I'll be Monday, Wednesday, Thursday because I have guests lined up. Katie's not going to be with me on Tuesday, so I might do something short solo on Tuesday, and then I'm just taking Friday off. So, yeah, we'll be back in a couple
weeks.
Then
the next week y'all are moving, right?
Next week we're moving, yep. And then I got to set my studio back up, so I won't be able to go live. But
well, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Who knows?
Are you going to PodFest in Florida, Orlando?
No, because that's the week my it starts on Thursday, and that Thursday my daughter has surgery on her knee, her ACL surgery. So, I would love not to be here on Friday when she's going through her first day of coming out and walking and all that. But my wife would probably kill me and divorce me all at the same time if I abandoned her with the – yeah. So, no, yeah, I'm not going.
That's a big responsibility. Well, and, dude, I'm not going, but I am flying to Miami now for our dog. Yeah. So, that was another whole fiasco this morning. I won't go into the whole story, but basically
we're trying to wrap the show up, but we're 2 minutes past the top of the hour.
Who cares? Like, this is
cares about your stories.
We'll go like 50 hour live stream. So anyway, I'm actually flying out of here on the 24th late and then getting to Miami, getting my dog at like 11 p.m. and then maybe driving some and then staying at Airbnb and then finishing the trip. But I will be going through Orlando because I'm going to Miami and then up the interstate that way. So I think that's going to be on the 25th. So I might actually stop somewhere in Orlando and see if I can see some people. That'd be fun.
So I would actually ask you, why are you doing that? Why aren't you going to Daytona, then to Jacksonville, then to Savannah? You're going out of your way to go into Central Florida. But wife and son, are you flying them all the way to North Carolina?
They're going to they're flying to Charlotte, then driving.
Good job.
They're flying to Charlotte to get our house. Well, good job, American Airlines, for being doinks, because we were all flying to Charlotte. But then you can only fly a certain size dog. I don't know. It's terrible. So anyway, I'm shipping him a different company and then having to fly. It's like the worst thing about moving with dogs. Like, after these dogs, I'm never getting dogs again. Like, I'll go to the pet store and pet them on Saturdays when they're in those cages all lonely. Or the pound.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not getting my own.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a great show. Good luck with moving everything, buddy. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, guys. Thanks for having us today.
All right. Thanks, Sid. All right, everyone, that is all for Creating Daily today. We'll be back Monday. I'm going to be joined by Sean Anthony. Sean is the podcast host of School's Out, Now What? He has interviewed so many celebrities on his show. It's amazing. It's insane. And he just recently, I think in the last 12 months, went from corporate America to full-time content creator, podcaster, business coach. So we're going to have him on the show. We're going to kind of go through his journey a little bit and maybe even talk about how do you overcome that imposter syndrome, because some of you want to make big moves as a content creator. You want to go from your 9-to-5 to just being a full-time content creator, but you might have a little bit of imposter syndrome. So we're going to be talking about some of that. So join me Monday, 2 p.m. right here. And it's going to be a great week next week, as it's my last week until June. So be sure to check out all those shows. Put them on your calendar, and we'll see you then.